All right, starting our Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We're reading verses 5 and 6. Man, I tell you, when Brother Tim, Mr. Rawlins and family walk through, it's just like family showing back up. And I mean that, man. We go way, way, way back. Tim, I remember you playing. Was that a senior year? Senior year basketball? Yeah, I remember that. And I tell you, one thing that impressed me about Tim, back in those days, and Tim was a very good basketball player. And Tim was, I looked up to Tim, and Tim was a good example. But Tim would take time to talk to me. As an 18-year-old man, and me as a younger junior high annoying kid, I'm sure, Tim would take his time talking. And I never forgot that. Never forgot that, man. And so thankful that our paths have crossed a long time ago. Mr. Rawlins, man, you walked in. Such an encouragement. Such an encouragement, man. So good to see y'all this morning. Genesis chapter 13, and we'll read verses 5 and verse 6. It says this, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together." Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for another chance to come to your house. God, this isn't just a normal place or a place that, Lord, that hopefully, Lord, we don't take for granted. God, this is your house. God, this is the only one like this. The only one, Lord, that I've been to, Lord God, in these span of years, Lord, college, obviously some churches there, but Lord, as far as my home church, and God, I so thank you for this place. I thank you for family here. Lord God, for our church family. God, none of it's possible without you shedding your precious blood on the cross for us. None of it's possible. And God, as we see you high and lifted up, Lord God, we see ourselves in our state. Lord, wretched and blind and poor and miserable and naked. But Lord God, thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, we don't deserve any of it. But God, we thank you, Lord God, for a place we can come and worship you. We can lift you up. Lord God, and thank you for all that you have done. God, thank you for this place. Lord, I love this place. Lord, I pray, God, your hand upon the people here, Lord. And Lord, just be with the message, Lord God. Work in our hearts, stir our hearts. Lord God, Holy Spirit, you come here and move among us. Lord God, Lord, we know you're here, Lord. We pray that you move while you're here. God, thank you for this place. Lord God, be with Pastor John Work as he preaches. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. Man, appreciate it. As always, the music this morning. Man, choir, great job. And also Mrs. Antic, great job on the special. And Mrs. Freeman on the offertory. So thank you for all the music. And let me encourage you, man, be in Sunday school. If you were in Sunday school this morning, I had a great time in Sunday school over in our class, I know, over here. And so find you a place in Sunday school. And, of course, be back tonight if you can, 6 o'clock. And Brother Tim, I was thinking this morning, I was talking about this just a couple of weeks ago, not these stories in particular, but I don't know if you ever had this happen. Have you ever had where you laugh so hard that your stomach physically hurt? Have you all had that happen where it's, I mean, you just couldn't? And Brother Tim, two of them, I couldn't do them justice. But one of them, he'll remember, this way, if he starts to fall asleep during service, he'll think about these, he'll wake him back up. But one was at camp over scrambled eggs. And I remember that. And then one was at youth conference, man. And we were at youth conference in Kentucky, and I hurt so bad that night. I mean, it was still hurting hours later after that. But anyway, we've had some great times together, mostly laughing at other people. All right. But anyway, great to have them in on this Sunday morning. Genesis chapter 13. And we're going to talk about Abraham and Lot this morning. I want to go to a couple of scriptures. We'll come back to Genesis chapter 13, but I want to establish something before we get into the story. We've been going through the book of Genesis and talking about Abraham here the last several weeks. And I want to go to Rome. We'll come back to Genesis, but go to Romans chapter 4. Go to Romans chapter 4. We read this a couple weeks ago. And Romans chapter 4. And I want you to just to establish this before we get into the message this morning. So Romans chapter 4. In verse number 1, Romans chapter 4, verse 1, several references to this, and we touched on this on Easter Sunday, right? Romans chapter 4 and verse number 1 says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Abraham was not justified by works. We cannot be. All right, we cannot be saved by works. We cannot go to heaven because of works. None of us are good enough, and it tells why in verse 4. "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." We try to work, and we all we do is incur a debt. That's all. Verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Abraham was saved, and he was saved just like we are by faith. And this morning it's not going to be a salvation message necessarily, but I want you to understand that Abraham was saved by faith. Now for us, as we read, in fact, if you go to James, we talked this a couple weeks ago, Abraham was saved by faith, and then his works were evidence of his salvation, right? Once he got saved, those works that he did showed his salvation. And so that's true of all that are saved, but some are a little easier to figure out than others. It's not hard for us to figure out Abraham was saved. You see the life of Abraham, you see his testimony, he was saved, and then you see how that lived out. But I want you to go to one of the other passages. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 6. And really, Peter's giving an illustration of how God delivers those that are saved and delivers the righteous. And be honest with you, this is a picture of what we'll talk about tonight, how God delivers. But verse number 6 says, "In turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example and an example unto those that after should live ungodly." Verse 7, "And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." The Bible says, verse 7, just Lot, verse 8, "For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." You know how Lot was saved? Lot was saved the same way that Abraham was, by faith. And so Lot also was saved. The Bible tells a righteous man, not righteous because of his righteousness, righteous because of the righteousness of Christ. And so he also was saved. Now, be honest with you, if the Bible didn't tell us in 2 Peter that Lot was saved, most of us would think he wasn't. Because as you read the evidence of his life here and what we know, and what we'll talk about in this story, then boy, it doesn't look like he's saved. But Lot left with Abraham in Genesis chapter 11. He's with Abraham all the way through Genesis chapter 12, beginning of Genesis chapter 13. And so sometime in there, may have been initially when Abraham left, Lot left with him. Lot had to leave his home as well. So it could have been then, as when he trusted Christ and put his faith in God and believe and became a believer. But the point I want to get across to you is this. Go back to Genesis chapter 30, and we're talking about two people, Abraham and Lot, who were saved. Now, I won't go to the scriptures that the Bible tells in the New Testament, in Romans and in 1 Corinthians and in Galatians and even in Hebrews. It talks about the carnal, the fleshly, those that are saved, but they're living in a way that's not pleasing to God, and then those that are sold out to God, those that are spiritual. And so we have here in this passage an example of a spiritual believer and a carnal believer, both believers, both saved, both in heaven this morning, but the difference between the way they live their life, and we'll see that. And so I want you, I don't know if you're marking your Bibles or not, but I'm going to go through four different phrases. The first one is in verse number 7. So go to verse 7 of Genesis chapter 13. And the first phrase there, "And there was a strife." There was a strife. So that's where we start. We start the story. There was a strife. And we mentioned in verses 5 and 6 that Lot is there with him. Abraham and Lot together both have a lot of goods that they brought, that they own, and those possessions. And because of that, there's not enough room there, at least in that area, to hold both of them. And so the Bible says in verse 7, there was a strife. There's a strife here between two believers. I'm going to give you two things here about how to handle a strife between two believers. And I don't know if you're going to like them or not, all right? But I do believe it's biblical. So when there is a strife, and those two believers could be two people in the same church or two people in different churches. It could be a husband and wife. It could be a parent and a child. It could be a brother and a sister. It could be any of the... But we're talking about two believers, two people that both
are on the way to heaven. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. But it's striving. And by the way, because we're here on earth, strife's going to come, all right? There's going to be some strife at some point in your life. And so here it comes. For Abraham and for Lot, there's a strife. Here's the number one principle, verse number 8. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife. Here's the number one principle. You say, there's a strife. How do I handle it? Number one, give in. Give in. You say, I don't like that one. Don't argue back. Don't stake your claim for what's yours. Just give in. Just give in. I think it was Curtis Hudson that said, never fight a battle where nothing is gained by the victory. We spend a lot of time fighting battles where there's nothing gained if we win. And I know our first inclination, we say, well, just give in. Just give in. But if I do that, people will walk all over me. The Bible says that Jesus, when he was reviled, what? Reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Hey, if you want to get strife, now your goal may not be to get rid of strife. That's what Abraham's goal was. Hey, let's get rid of strife. So you know what? I don't want there to be any strife, Lot. Hey, Lot, let's just do this. If there's strife here, it says, look at verse 8. Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Why? For we be brethren. Hey, Lot, we're family. We're family in Christ. Let there be no strife. We be brethren. You know, the Bible tells us there in verse number 7, the Canaanite and Perizzite dwelled in the land. You know, the Canaanite and the Perizzites, they're watching. You know, the world's watching to see how Christians are going to treat each other. And how about this? If somebody doesn't treat you right or something, how about just giving in? You've heard the story. I think I've told it several times. But Pastor Bobby Robertson used to tell this story. He was the pastor of Gospel Valley Baptist Church for a long time. And I mean, a great man of God, went to heaven several years ago. But he would tell the story about how he was had Brother Lester Roloff, another great man of God who went to heaven many, many years ago, had him in and to preach for him. And they were, I think, in the car together and going somewhere. And he said, Pastor Bobby Robertson said, he said something to Brother Lester Roloff that he got to thinking about it. And see, that probably wasn't the best thing to say. So he told Brother Lester Roloff, he said, man, I said something a little bit earlier. He said, I don't want you to know. I hope I didn't offend you. I apologize. I shouldn't have said that. And he said, Brother Lester Roloff told him, he looked at him and said, hey, you know something, Brother Bobby? You can't hurt a dead man. Hey, you know, if we're dead to that, I've got to make sure I take care of him. No. He said, what he's saying is, hey, you can't hurt me. You can't offend me. Hey, we're brothers in Christ. Let there be no strife. Number one, if you want there to be no strife. Now, you say, well, I don't think I can do that. Let me tell you something. You're going to keep having strife. We'll keep being there. You ever tried to argue with somebody that won't argue back with you? You know, a lot of times I know your marriages are all perfect here, right? But it could be that once in a while, you're just trying to get a reaction out of your husband or wife, right? Hey, if somebody won't come, you know, it's really hard to argue by yourself. Now, some of you still do a pretty good job of it, all right? But it's hard to argue by yourself. And let there be no strife. Hey, if we really don't want strife, number one, give in, and then you're really going to like this one. In verse number 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. He says first in verse 8, hey, I don't want to be strife. Hey, Lot, I'll give in. And in verse 9, hey, there's the whole land before thee. Number one, you don't want strife. Number one, give in. Number two, here's a good one, give up. Give up. You know what Abraham said? Abraham said, Lot, you take whatever you want. Whose land was that? God had already given it to Abraham. By right, Abraham could say, "Hey, God told me this is my land. Hey, Lot, this is mine. I get to choose it. You're going to have to go somewhere else." But you know what Abraham did? He gave up. "But I've got rights, and I've got..." Hey, how about just giving that up so there won't be strife? I know, and anytime you go into, well, I mean, we need to take a stand for what's right. Let me tell you this. You know how much of the strife in our life is because we're taking a stand for what's right? Like, maybe this much, right? I mean, if you really think about it in your life and the times you've gotten in an argument, the times that you've had trouble, I mean, how much of that was really, I mean, really something that was biblically important? Very rare, right? Now, this morning, I'm not saying we don't stand on the Word of God. We do. We don't, no, we're preaching the Word of God. We're standing on the Word of God. We stand up for what the Bible says, and we're going to continue to do that. But let me tell you this morning, if you don't want strife in your life, then how about just giving in and giving up? You say, "Well, that doesn't sound very fun," yeah? Surrender. What does the Bible tell us to do? If we're going to really walk with God, what do we have to do? Surrender our will, right? We have to give up what we want. And here, Abraham shows us the difference between a spiritual believer and a worldly believer and a carnal believer. And Abraham says, "I don't want there to be any strife." So he says, "Separate from me. Hey, choose the land you want." You know why Abraham was able to do that? Because Abraham trusted God's promise. God already promised Abraham what he's going to get. So Abraham didn't have to worry about, "Well, Lot's going to take what's mine." No, God's already promised it to him. If we truly believe the promises of God, then we can give up our rights because God's going to take care of us. So this morning, he said, "Man, I want to avoid strife." And maybe you don't, but I hope you do. Abraham wanted to avoid strife. He didn't want strife. There was a strife there. He wanted to get rid of that strife, so he gave in and he gave up. And then look at the next thing, next phrase, if you want to mark your Bibles. So first of all, there was a strife. Secondly, verse 11, Then Lot chose. So we have Abraham who says, "I don't want there to be strife." And so he gives in to Lot, to the demands of Lot and those that, and he gives up his rights to Lot. And now we have the choice of Lot. Now, this morning, I'm not going to just tell you, "Boy, this is a good choice," but I want you to think about this morning. Before we get to your choices, let's go back a verse, and what are the criteria for your choices, right? So first of all, the criteria, as you make choices in your life, what are you basing those choices on? And verse number 10 gives us the basis for Lot's choices. And here's how, if we're not careful, we can get ourselves in trouble. Verse 10, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan." Lot lifted up his eyes and he found what looked good. Notice what it says, that it was well watered everywhere, even as the garden of the Lord. You know what? Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw what looked good. As you're making choices in your life, if you're going to go by what looks good, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Hey, you know what? It looked good to him for what? The Bible says it was well watered everywhere. It's like the Garden of Eden. That meant it was going to be really good for what? His cattle. Right? All these, this cattle that he had a place, he's trying to find a place to put them, it's going to be really good for them. It also is going to be really good for farming, right? I mean, it's really good ground. Really good ground. I mean, you go up, Mr. Hayes was saying, they're heading up there soon, right, to Amish country. And we stayed at a place last year, we were up there in Pennsylvania during the summer, and I'm not exaggerating at all. We're there, and the corn is like here, right? And it's amazing that the land up there that the Amish have, how fertile that land is. Hey, he's looking around. This is good land for growing things. Good land for my cattle. This was a really good business decision by Lot. Very good business decision. Hey, this is going to be the best. I mean, best for what I'm trying to accomplish. And so Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw what looked good for his cattle, what looked good for his crops. Notice also, as he looked, what he saw at the end of verse 10. Even as the garden of the Lord, what's the next word? Like the land of Egypt. Where did they just come from in chapter 12? Hey, Lot had just gone down with Abraham and he'd gotten to see Egypt a little bit. Egypt's always the type of the world. He got to see what the world looked like. And now Lot looks and says, hey, that looks a lot like Egypt. I think I'll head that direction. Anytime we make choices based on what looks good to us, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. And Lot looks around and he sees, boy, that place looks like Egypt. And what happened to Lot? Verse number 11. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceeding. Let me tell you two things that happens here. Lot, first of all, Lot took when he should have given. Hey, be careful of taking when you should be giving. Let me tell you this morning. If you're taking from God instead of giving to God, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Hey, don't be taking when you should be giving. You know, our life should be one that we're constantly giving of ourselves and giving of what we have to the Lord instead of taking and looking. And lots looking around and see, well, oh, boy, this would be best for me. This would be best for my crops. This would be best for my cattle. And then secondly, Lot left when he should have stayed. Lot left when he should have stayed. Look at the consequences of his choices. First of all, we read in verse 12, and pitched his tent towards Sodom, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Hey, those cities of Sodom was filled with wickedness, and Lot pitched his tent. And you know what that means. We talked about it a couple weeks ago with Abraham where he pitched his tent. Lot pitches his tent so we can see what's out there. And too many Christians today, they're making decisions that are good for their crops and that are good for their cattle and they're terrible for their family. Hey, don't make a decision that's good for you if it's going to hurt your family. You've got to look beyond, well, boy, this is a really good business decision, but it's not a good decision for your family. Turn down that promotion. Forget about the money. Forget about the overtime. Do what's right for your family. Let me tell you what's right for your family. You better have them in a good church in the house of God around people that are going to give them instruction from the Word of God so they can grow. And I'll tell you something. We're not going to produce good Christian young people from the world. It's not going to happen. So Abraham has made his choice. Lot now making his choice. And he chooses what looks good to him. And instead of giving as he should have, he took what looked good to him and pointed his family in a direction. And we won't take time. We'll get to it in a few weeks and all the consequences that come about. But it affected his family. And I mentioned Lot left when he should have stayed. You've heard this before. We talked about it, I don't know, last year or something. And I've heard preachers say for years, and I'm not saying this wrong. Well, let's say, you know what Lot should have done? Instead of taking that land, he should have given Abraham first choice. Abraham's older. Abraham's the one that brought him there. And I don't dispute that. That'd probably been a good idea for Lot to do. But let me tell you the mistake Lot made here. The Bible says that, what does it tell? It says that Lot was what? Separated from Abraham. Now, I tell you what Lot should have done. He should have done what Ruth did. He should have said, no, Abraham, I'm not leaving you. Hey, young people, hey, decide this morning, I'm not leaving those that are being blessed by God. Abraham's being blessed by God. Why would Lot want to leave that? Too many young people that are growing up in Christian homes, and they want to get away from the blessings of God instead of hanging around the people that have the blessings of God in their life. Why would I want to head a different direction? Why would Lot want to get away from Abraham? All he knew about Christianity, about spiritual life, was from Abraham. And yet he's smart now. Boy, he knows he's got his own things. I can make it my own way. No, he's heading towards Sodom while Abraham's heading a different direction. Hey, young people, don't separate from those who are following God. Lot needed to stay right where he was. And say, Abraham, hey, if I've got to get rid of some cattle, if I've got to get rid of some things, that's okay. I want to be with you. What did Ruth say? Hey, where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge. Hey, your God's my God. I want to be where you are. And Lot got himself in trouble because he separated himself from Abraham. Now, once that happened, a couple more phrases very quickly. Go to verse 14 of chapter 13. says the Lord said. So now Abraham and Lot are separated. Now God speaks to Abraham once he's separated. And tell you this, when you will make right spiritual decisions, we talk about the decision that Lot made and how that took him the wrong way, but Abraham also made a decision here which headed him in the right direction, right? So Abraham makes a good spiritual decision. When you make good spiritual decisions, I'm going to tell you this, God's going to confirm those through his promises. You're going to see God's hand. It may not be the next day. It may not be as quick as Abraham saw it here. But God's going to confirm that. And what's God telling verse 14? Lift up now thine eyes and look northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. So if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land and the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. We'll say, Abraham, hey, it's yours. Hey, I know you gave this up. I know you gave Lot the best choice. I know you tried and you did what was right. Let me tell you, my promise for you, Abraham, it's yours. You look around, it's yours. Your seed after you. Again, Abraham's got no children now, but God's given him a promise. Not only will you have children, but your seed will be not even be numbered. There'll be so many. And what does Abraham do? Verse number 18, for the third time in a chapter and a half. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Abraham moved too, right? He moved a little closer to God in Hebron. You know, Hebron eventually is going to be the capital there, the beginning when David's there as king. This is Abraham moving even closer to God, even closer. And so as Lot went on his way, Abraham gets even closer and built there an altar unto the Lord. And so we have, this all starts with a strife and then a choice by Lot and now the promise of God. But let me finish here. I want you to notice what happens in chapter 14. And we don't have time to get to all of it. I want to just touch on some of the story here. Look at verse 2 of chapter 14. It says that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, and some other kings there. This is the first time war is mentioned in the Bible. So and we have all these firsts in Genesis, the first time war is mentioned. And interesting here, God doesn't put any commentary in here. He doesn't say, boy, and war, and then start to talk about the why we shouldn't have war. I'll say, not that God's in favor of war at all. We know what happens because there is strife between men, and because we're human, then we've seen that in life. And listen, I'm glad that we're not fighting a war now. Now, I don't know what could happen. I mean, the Middle East in any minute, right? We don't know what's going on. But I'll tell you what I am thankful is this. I am thankful for those who have died for my freedoms and have had to fight for those freedoms. I am thankful for that. And I do appreciate that. And yes, as we talked about, give in and get up, there is sometimes you do have to stand for what's right. And I'm thankful for those that have. But here we have, for the first time, we have war mentioned. And without going and reading all the verses there, but we have a group of kings that battles against another group of kings. And the second group of kings includes Sodom and Gomorrah. And in fact, isn't this interesting? Go to verse number 10. Go to verse number 10. So the Sodom and Gomorrah side, their side loses. And it says, verse 10, and the valley of Siddim there was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. Boy, did anybody else, how appropriate that Sodom and Gomorrah's kings, they fell into slime pits, right? I mean, that's what Sodom and Gomorrah was. It was a cesspool, it was a slime pit. But literally, they fall into slime pits here, and so they're defeated. And so as they're defeated, another phrase here, look at verse number 12, and they took Lot. So Abraham, there was a strife, Abraham gave in. Lot made a choice, went away from Abraham. God spoke to Abraham and reiterated his promise to Abraham as Abraham moved closer to God. Now what happens? Lot gets taken. And notice the progression here. We won't take time to go through all of it, but look at the end of verse 12, I'm sorry. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, what? Who dwelt in Sodom. It's taken him less than 20 verses, and he's not just pitching his tent towards Sodom, he's moved in. Let me just stop here for a second. It's not part of the message. Let's tell you, mom and dad, parents, once they head towards Sodom, it's really hard to get them to come back. And I've seen families, and once they start to head towards Egypt and Sodom, it's hard to get that thing turned. I've seen with churches, hey, once they lower what they believe, they're never coming back. Once the dress goes and the music goes and the Bible goes, they're not coming back. And what happens here? They start heading towards Sodom. And now they're not just heading there. It's going to get worse for Lot and for his family, and we won't talk about that this morning, but now Lot's living there. So Lot now has his family not just looking at Sodom, they're living in Sodom. And so as Lot's there, he's taken, verse 13, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. And so this one person goes and tells Abraham, says, listen, they've captured people there in Sodom and Gomorrah, including Lot, verse 14, when Abram heard his brother was taken captive. So Abraham hears. There comes somebody and tells him. You think about Abraham. I mean, what's the first thing he's come? Hey, I told you, Lot. I told you, man. And, you know, and as he thinks about where Lot was and now where he is, but let me just remind you something this morning. If we're going to be right with God, if we're going to walk with God, then when people go away from God, you know what we need to do? We need to do everything we can to try to help them. Hey, I just talked about young people that have gone away from God, but let me tell you this. I don't care how far that young person has gone away from God. I want that young person, I want them to walk through those doors right there. And I know they come to Gilgal Baptist Church, there's people that love them and care, but it doesn't matter what they've done. And we're not going to say, hey, come on in and keep living the lifestyle or the sin. No, you need to get right with God. And we'll give you the truth. But I want them to know there's a place they can come to where people love them. And Abraham here, he doesn't just know. You know what he does? The Bible says as soon as he finds out that Lot is taken, Abraham goes into action. Verse number 14, he hears it. He armed his trained servants and pursued them in verse number 14. Verse 15, divided himself against them. The Bible says there he had 318 of his own servants trained to fight. And so he takes them and pursues after this group, divided himself against them, verse 15, and they split up there and pursue after, verse 16. And he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. Hey, Abraham was the first one to help. And I don't care who it is this morning. I don't care if it's the drunkard. I don't care if it's the alcoholic, the drunkard, the homosexual, who the first people to help should be? It should be us. That's who it should be. Hey, they're living a lifestyle of sin. They need help. You know what they need? They need Jesus Christ is what they need. And so I don't care what group it is, young person that's gone off and they've had a child out of wedlock or they're living in immorality. You know, we need to be there. Not to comfort them in their sin or condone their sin at all. No. To help them. To help them in any way that we can and to love them and to care for them. So Abraham goes after Lot and he brings him back. Now I want you to notice he didn't bring Lot back home with him. He helped him as best he could. But he's not going to let Lot influence those in his home. The last thing I want you to see is this. Go to verse number 21. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And so he brings these back, including Lot. And the king there of Sodom says, listen, thank you for bringing the people back. Basically, why don't you keep the goods and keep the possessions? Verse 22. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the most high God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Abram says, I'm serving the God of heaven, the one who has everything, verse 23, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. You know what Abram says? He says, I don't want what you have. You know, we don't need what the world has. I don't need to bring the entertainment of the world into the church to reach people. You know, I reach people through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, I don't need to use the world's money. People decide to do this, that's fine. I'm not up here to criticize them this morning. What I'm telling you is what we did. When COVID hit, there was these loans, PPE loans, or whatever they're called, that schools, churches, Christian schools, private schools, whatever, churches could get from the government. to help them through COVID because of what, you know, before COVID hit, God knew it was coming. He knew it was coming. And there were some churches and schools that did take those loans. What else? We've decided a long time ago, I'm not taking any money from the government to this church. I'm not. If God can't sustain what we're doing, then why are we doing it in the first place? And so we said, we're not taking any of it. I don't care what the government offers us. No strings attached. It doesn't matter. By the way, just to remind you, anything from the government, there's always strings attached, all right? No matter what they say, all right? But I said, we're not at our church and our school. If we got to do that and survive, we'll just shut down. Now, I don't know if this happened for everybody, but here's what happened for us. It's what God does. Number one, in the church during COVID, our giving went up. We have more money coming. Secondly, in our school, we had to shut down like everybody else did for in March, April, May. But in our school, not only were we able to give extra bonuses to our teachers for all the work they did, they always do a lot of work. They even more then. They were out here doing stuff. We were also able to give back tuition to all our families. God blessed us with enough where we could do all that. And let me tell you this morning, if we'll trust in God instead of trusting in the world to take care of us, God's going to do a better job than the world ever could. And Abraham said, listen, I don't want your money. I don't want what you have. God's going to take care of me. We have a spiritual believer in Abraham. We have a carnal believer in Lot. Both in heaven this morning, but both totally different testimonies because of the choices they made in their life. This morning, you may not see it today, but you're going to see results from choices you make. Now, let me tell you, this has not been a salvation message, but if you never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's eternity in the balance there, okay? You're going to spend eternity somewhere. And that choice you make when it comes to Jesus Christ is going to determine where you spend eternity in heaven or spend eternity in hell. If you never trusted Christ, I encourage you to do that today. But if you're saved this morning, I want you to understand something. You've got choices to make. You've got choices to make. Abraham said, I want to get closer to God. I want to get closer to Him. I hope that's your choice this morning. But let me tell you, no matter what your choice, there's consequences. There's consequences for those choices. And understand that. And determine this morning, I'm going to choose. Hey, as Abraham did, I'm going to choose to move closer to God. I'm going to choose to give in and give up instead of strife there. And I'm going to choose to try to be a help to others in my life. Father, I pray that you bless each of our families here this morning, each of our people. Lord, I pray as we just talked about, Lord, if there's someone here who's not saved, Lord, work in their hearts, convict their hearts. Lord, I'd hate for somebody to walk out of Gilgo Baptist Church and spend an eternity in hell. Lord, you told us I can't make that choice for them. And Lord, I pray they'd understand the seriousness of their spiritual condition. So I pray there's someone here not saved. I pray they trust you. And then, Lord, those that are saved. Lord, as we look at the lives of Abraham and Lot, and Lord, we know this, that further in the Scripture, we're going to see even more of a contrast between one who followed God and one who didn't. Lord, I pray there could be some this morning, like Lot, they've made some choices, they're heading the wrong direction, Lord, help them turn around. This was an opportunity for Lot to turn back, and he didn't do it. Lord, he's rescued. He's got Abraham who's helped him out and went back to the same lifestyle. Lord, I pray there'd be some decisions this morning, Lord. And then, Lord, maybe somebody this morning has some choices to make. Lord, help. The criteria for our choice is not to be just what looks good, what sounds good. I pray that our choices will be made according to the Word of God and what's best according to your Word for us and for our family. Convict our hearts. Help us this morning in Jesus' name. If everybody stay with head bowed and eyes closed this morning. Nobody looking around, let me ask you this. Do you know for sure you're on the way to heaven? Will you spend eternity in heaven? There's only one way, the Bible tells us, and that's by faith in Christ. Jesus said He's the only way. You know, Christianity is inclusive. Anybody can be a Christian. Anybody. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. Anybody. But it's also exclusive. You can only come one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. You're here this morning, you say this, you say, I know for sure I'm saved. I'm on the way to heaven. I'm not perfect at all, but I have a Savior who is. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I know for sure if I was to die today, I'd spend eternity in heaven. If you could say that, would you slip your hand and say, I know I'm saved this morning. You put your hand right back down. Thank you. If you're here this morning, you say this, you say, I'm not sure about my salvation. I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd spend eternity in heaven. If that's you this morning, I don't want to embarrass you at all, but I want to pray for you. If you just do this for me, say, pray for me. I'm just not sure about my salvation. If that's you this morning, if you slip here and say, pray for me this morning, pray for me. And if you're not saved, make sure you take care of that today. And if you're saved this morning, about the choices in life, listen, there's nothing we can do about the choices we made, but there is something we can do about the choices we have in front of us. Maybe this morning God's dealing with you about something you need to do. Maybe something that you need to get right in your life. As the music plays this morning, the Lord spoke to you, you come forward this morning. All right, Mr. Cliff, I'm going to use this wireless. I've got two things we need to do real quick, all right? So two things, there'll be two good things here real quick. First was this, Brother Jason, come help me with this if you could. If you can grab those two things. Brother Sam, can you bring Mr. Rawlings up here for me real quick? Just bring him right up here down front, all right? Now, look, we love having Mr. Rawlings in here and Brother Tim anytime they can come in. But this is a special weekend, all right? So I think, was it yesterday? So yesterday, Mr. Rawlings turned 89 years old.
Amen.
89 years old. And so we got him, he's been doing stuff for us for so long, and we got him a little gift here and a cake, and we want to thank everybody here. Man, great to see you, Mr. Rawlings. Man, love you, Mr. Rawlings. Love you, Brother Tim. Man, great to see y'all. Man, that's right. Yeah, Brother Tim, we take that for him. And I was thinking as they were here, the Bible says, thy own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. These men and Miss Tracy and the family, they have been friends to my dad, and they've been friends to me for a long time. And we love them, love y'all so much, and y'all meant so much to us. And so we want to give you a cake, and again, it's not anything compared to what you've done for us. There's not enough cake in the world to make up for all the barbecue that I've eaten, all right? But anyway, we want to say thank you, and we want to sing happy birthday to Mr. Rawlings. All right, so if everybody can join us. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. I love you, Mr. Rawlings. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. And thank y'all. And we'll do this. As they go back, Dad always said we applaud character, right? So let's give him a hand. Thank you, Mr. Rawlings, for all you've done. Man. Man, such a blessing to have them here. And then, man, this is exciting, too. So this was a couple of weeks ago. Mrs. Pam Hall, who's been coming here for years now, and she said, I want to join the church. I want to join the church. And so we talked, and about 15 years ago, she got saved and got baptized and knows she's on her way to heaven. And she wanted to come and say, I want to be. And I said, we've been waiting, right? We've been wanting her to be a part. She's family already, but she wanted to join. And so we're going to do this. We're going to let her in just a minute. When we pray, I'm going to get Miss Heather to walk her up here. And she'll be up here. You can come by and give her the right hand of fellowship as you head out this morning. And is so thankful she can be a part of the church. So we need to vote her in. So those that do so, signify by saying amen. Amen. All right. That's all it takes. So she's going to be up here after prayer. Come see her. And so thankful that she's a part of Gilgrove Baptist Church. Father, thank you for the great service this morning. Lord, just bringing Mr. Rawlings here and the family, Lord. And we love them and just appreciate them. And Lord, thank you for Mrs. Hall, and great to add her to Gilgrove Baptist Church. Lord, continue to bless us. Continue to add those, Lord, here. And we pray that we continue to see people saved and baptized and their lives changed because of the Word of God. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.